It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Describe the ruckus, sir.
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday.
It is Thursday,
brother,
my man.
Look, I don't do days normally well, but with Hoop Summit and crisscrossing the town between Nike, the practice facility, Moda, everywhere else, I couldn't have told you what day it was. I mean, I literally came in here on Tuesday.
Yep.
When you weren't even supposed to be here.
You weren't even supposed to be here.
Because I'm dumb. And whether listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM, or Twitch.tv/1080AM, you too can be smarter than me. It's not hard. Ding. Look, man, it happens. All right. Speaking of it happens, it doesn't happen often. The Denver Nuggets fired both their head coach and their general manager on the same day with less than a week left in the season. And as crazy as that sounds, when I called in the other day, we talked about it a little bit. More of it's coming out publicly, and it's not my story, and there's some hearsay stuff that I know that goes beyond what's in here. But Tony Jones and Sam Mamick of The Athletic, Tony Jones, who has covered the Utah Jazz for a very long time, but as The Athletic has, well, I mean, to be fair, he's downsized. Tony splits time between the Jazz and the Nuggets, and the Jazz suck. So he spent more time with the Nuggets this year. And they had the first iteration of the triage of kind of what went wrong and how they addressed it. They come out and say, very bluntly, Mike Malone and Calvin Booth hated each other. And this was not a, like, tough working relationship. These guys actively looked to sabotage each other.
No, Kevin O'Connor had the details on it early with the fact that they didn't like each other. They made it known that they didn't like each other or talk to each other, and they would actively talk smack behind each other's backs to anybody that would listen within the team and around the league. So it was a non-tenable working relationship they had.
And look, whether it's owner and front office and coach, coach and player, player and front office, player and owner, like very, very few, if any, organization is, everybody talks about organizational alignment. It's never totally aligned.
No.
It's never totally aligned. Like, you look at the Heatles. LeBron James wanted Spo fired. Right? Like, and they were an ungodly good team.
Crazy, man.
Kevin Durant and the nightmare fuel around the Warriors. Everybody's like, man, if they just would have stayed together. Look, it's just, it is what it is. You're dealing with a lot of egos, a lot of power. And one of the things that it came out of this, not out of this article, but just kind of out of this in general was, or a question I should say was asked, was like, was there somebody waiting in the wings? Is the new assistant general manager or the assistant general manager who they'll take a look at to possibly replace Calvin Booth because the Nuggets are cheap.
Yeah.
The Nuggets do not pay their executives, whether it was Portland legend Mark Warkentine, who was let go after winning Executive of the Year, or Kiki Vandeweghe, who was let go after winning Executive of the Year, or Tim Connelly, who was let go after winning Executive of the Year, or Masai Ujiri, who was let go after winning Executive of the Year. Anybody else picking up what I'm putting down?
Seems like a trend.
They're really good at finding them and replacing them, but they don't pay them. And so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of comes out of that. And that is the first point in this. Calvin Booth was working on an extension, and he thought because of the championship, because of two moves that he made, trading for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and drafting Christian Brown, they were good moves, particularly the KCP move, that helped push the Nuggets over the top. And there was a fundamental disagreement. And this is, I have said this probably 1,000 times about coaches in the NBA. No coach in the NBA wants to play a kid unless that kid is named Victor Wembanyama or LeBron James or this draft, Cooper Flagg, unless you're one of them ones, because they're just dumb and they don't know. And if you're talking about winning, unless you were otherworldly talented, you're going to have to deal with the dumb and the growth that comes with dealing with kids.
And this is something that, you know, we talked about while you were out, though, is that Michael Malone went through this already in developing and growing Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray together.
And Porter Jr.
And so to kind of reset and say, no, this is what we're going to do again, he's like, guys, we're not at that point. We are at the let's reap the rewards of what we have done and what I've been able to do with these guys that you've given me. And so the frustration on his part is valid, but it's also not how the NBA works, because if you develop these guys the way that you have, guess what they get? They get that money and they get paid and they go off, and you can't afford to keep everybody in a salary cap sport with a hard cap and now two aprons that are very punitive if you are in the first, and God forbid you are in the second apron, what that's going to do for you to multiple years. So the idea of the NBA and the way it's been collectively bargained is you have to have an influx of young talent regardless of your stars and where they're at in their careers.
The problem with this is, and this is where I want to give credit to the Celtics. The Celtics have not done the two timelines thing. They have leaned into their title window knowing full well what's going to happen.
But what they also did was had an ownership group that was on the way out and said, fine, not going to be our problem, but we're going to keep our guys here. So when we leave, our fan base is going to be extremely happy with us winning a title and then saying, no, these guys are all going to be locked up in the future. This new ownership group in Boston,
we'll
wait
see.
For the bloodletting, man, because it has to happen.
And here's the thing. Joe Lacob and the Warriors have more money than God. That arena, that new arena, and the money they get from VC at Chase Center is otherworldly. They're the most valuable franchise in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
More valuable than the Lakers, than the Knicks, because of the real estate, because of the suites. They get tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars out of those suites because you have some of the richest people on the planet buying those suites.
Yep.
And it is a major influx of cash. And do you remember light years? And how they were smarter than everybody else and two timelines? James Wiseman didn't work. Kuminga didn't work. You just kind of go down the list of like general managers thinking, you know, I can do two timelines. You can't. You cannot do two timelines. Mm-mm. It's not a thing. You're either in or you're out. And here's the thing. Denver and the Cronkies, they're cheap.
Mm.
That is something. The only team that they have spent on, and it took a while, is the Rams. That is the only team that they've been like, okay, and guess what? They got a title. In the NBA, though, even after they got the title, the first thing they did was let Bruce Brown go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really tough spot to be in for a franchise and an organization, though, because of the way that the cap is set up. Because you win a championship, you come your free agency becomes exponentially more valuable because you know what it takes to get over that hump.
And
right?
The mistake they made was signing Zeke Nagy to that contract, and that's Calvin Booth.
Yeah.
He's unplayable.
Bingo.
He's unplayable, and he's a $30 million weight that's just sitting there.
I wonder if there's going to be more of guys going in the way that the new second apron is playing out. To get guys, the ring chasers are really going to come out of the woodwork and older in their career because it's valuable to the teams who have a window open to have veteran talent that is on the cheaper end.
We're out of the big three era and we're into depth. Now, don't get me wrong, the Celtics are loaded to the gills and they're deep. And the Thunder are right now, too. But the Thunder aren't paying what they need to be paying yet. And Clay Bennett is the brokest owner in the NBA. I refuse to believe that all of a sudden Clay Bennett is going to pay when he's literally never paid. So we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But we know the Kroenkes are, they're not the cheapest organization in the world, but they are cheap. They're cheap on the executive side. They don't go crazy into the tax. You've got the best player on the planet. And Michael Malone is, he's a red ass, to be blunt.
Like what?
And the reason it worked.
No way, man.
Look, I love Michael Malone as a coach. I think he is one of the best coaches in the league. But when they had Tim Connelly, who's now with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Tim Connelly was the kind of executive that could balance him out. You either need the very chill, very low-key relationship manager like Tim Connelly, who could balance out the scales, or you need Pat Riley. So they can go have their pissing match in the room, say what they need to say, be done with it, and move on. Because they're both pros. They're both angry. They're both hot-headed. But they're both pros, and they know what they need to get done. That was neither in Calvin Booth. Calvin Booth got arrogant. Michael Malone got arrogant. And what the crux of, I should say, the final blow was Calvin Booth wanted to fire Mike Malone, and without the extension, he didn't have the power to do it. And unbeknownst to him, Kroenke was putting together a plan to fire them both because they had done like management sessions of like, guys, we need you on the same page. In the title year, they got on the same page enough. But since then, it has been mutually assured destruction. Basically, Michael Malone publicly, not even basically, publicly saying they're not good enough. And the guys you gave me, they're dummies. They don't watch their film. They don't watch their minutes. They don't work. Nikola Jokic, do you remember them getting stomped out by the Thunder on opening night?
No.
They got stomped out by the Thunder on opening night. Nikola Jokic got up on that press conference stage and was pissed. We have no shooting. Our roster has no shooting.
Yeah.
That wasn't a shot at Michael Malone. That was a shot directly at Calvin Booth. And that right there, opening night already. So I talked to a bunch of Denver folks heading into the season, and they said the same kind of thing in the sense of nobody came to camp. There's no paintball trip. There's no bonding trip. Everybody came into the season angry and on pins and needles. And this was something was going to happen one way or the other.
Yep. And again, we forgot how close Michael Malone was getting fired before he won a title.
Had they not won the title, he's gone.
They were going to do it.
It's a crazy, crazy world. All right, coming up next, though, we'll dive back into the Luka Doncic return to Dallas and everything around that here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair has got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
It was event viewing last night in Dallas, Texas, as Luka Doncic made his long-awaited return to the arena that he helped pull together. And whether it's the tribute video that brought him to tears, the 45 points and ripping the soul out of the Mavericks, or the Fire Nico chants that rained down throughout the game, there's so much to take out of that game. I think it's maybe the biggest return we've ever seen of a player as far as everything involved. Because yeah, we've never seen a player traded against their will that great.
Well, I think the return of LeBron to Cleveland was in that realm, mm-hmm, because of the fact that how much he meant. But that was because of the fracture that he had with the organization and the fan base. Mm-hmm. And that was so different because there were fans burning LeBron jerseys in the streets, mm-hmm, when it happened, right?
People were throwing memorials with Luka's.
This is so different because it's very rare that you have a star in his prime traded and it comes out of nowhere. He doesn't ask for it. The fans aren't done with the player. Everything seems like it's a marriage that will go to the end of their career, yet this one just ended abruptly and in the middle of the night and nobody saw it coming. It's the most unique return that we've seen. And it is, you know, you can put it right up there with like LeBron's return to Cleveland. But with the information that we have and with the way that it is all playing out, it probably is. You're probably right in that it is the biggest return of a star back to his former team.
Across sports. And yeah. They opened up the game in the pregame press conference with Jason Kidd, and he was asked about it. And Jason Kidd's quote was, "It's cool to see it compared to like being like Babe. Or sorry, it's like Babe Ruth. It's cool to see it compared to that."
Oh boy!
And the fact that he's saying that it's cool, it's like you're the Red Sox in this.
Yeah, that's a curse of the Bambino, bud.
That is universally considered the worst trade. It actually wasn't a trade. He was sold on to the Yankees, but it's the worst. It was seen as the worst transaction in sports history. You can talk about the Herschel Walker trade and it leading to the triplets for the Cowboys. This, in my mind, even with those in my head, this is the worst trade in sports history.
I think we have a little time will tell. They definitely didn't get anything near what he's worth. Luka, not even close.
Luka's career has to end in the next 2 years for it to not be the worst trade in basketball history.
Yeah.
Or he leaves to go play in that overseas league.
Or Dallas wins a title in short order.
With Anthony Davis.
With Anthony Davis as the centerpiece of it. Like, that's the only way.
Those are your three paths. And yeah, the likelihood, the combined likelihood of all three of those things is probably less than 3%.
And it's way less than the Lakers winning a title with Luka Doncic.
I've talked to LA guys over the last week. They were worried about post-LeBron life. Every single one of us said some version of, we have a 10-year runway.
And that pisses me off.
It's because they were gifted him.
Yep.
They were gifted him.
Gave up very little, got one of the best players in the world in return. I still...
Good to be the Lakers.
There will be years down the road we will finally get eventually an answer to what Nico Harrison was thinking. But right now,
or what, or whether it was direction of ownership or whatever it was,
stupidity.
I struggle to find an actual reason. Yeah. Even in a decade out from now, with the benefit of hindsight, I'm still struggling to find how you can justify it.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because I had some people trying to defend it the other night, and they're like, "Well, they're going to have to pay Luka." I'm like, "They're paying Anthony Davis $60 million."
Yeah,
you're going to pay Luka $10 million more. He's getting a $70 million deal. Like, in the grand scheme of things, $10 million is $10 million. But it's like, do you know how much Luka Doncic generates for you?
It's a lot of money, man.
He generates a lot more than the additional $10 million. Ugh. I guarantee you, the Anthony Davis jerseys, not selling as well as the Luka Doncic ones.
No. It's good that when those jersey sale numbers come out at the end of the year, it'll be fascinating to see.
I just want to say this. I feel bad for Anthony Davis.
I do too.
He didn't do anything to deserve this. Mm-mm. And he's not being shunned by Mavs fans. He's not being blamed. It's not him. But he was never, ever fully embraced by Lakers fans. And Luka was there not even a day and was fully embraced while also still being fully embraced by Dallas. And he's sitting there watching two organizations that love a player more.
Yep. Than him.
Than him.
Yep.
And it's like, that kind of sucks, man.
And New Orleans doesn't have a fan base to love him, so he never got that there.
No.
Crazy.
So, all right, coming up next, a little listicle action. The SB Nation has a mock draft of QBs only, and you, Dusty, you have your own little list of best fits and opportunities for quarterbacks in this draft. We'll get to that next here, but first, it's Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I want to pivot back to the NFL here for a little bit. SB Nation has a mock draft. It's the QB-only mock draft through all seven rounds. It's an interesting way to look at it. Just go like, here's where they think the quarterbacks will fall in this. But you have your best fits.
Yeah, I think like they went through this and they said, you know, by round, right? So their first rounders, they have Cam Ward going number one to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Shador going seventh overall to the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. Ninth overall. They got four quarterbacks in the first round, which is a choice. Jackson Dart, ninth overall to the Saints. Jalen Milroe going to the Steelers at 21. And then in the third round, they got Kyle McCord to the Giants, Will Howard to the Browns, Quinn Ewers to the Raiders. Fourth round, you have Tyler Shuck going to the Seahawks. Not bad.
Are you surprised to see both Howard and McCord ahead of Shuck?
No. It's different strokes for different folks. Limitations and concerns with Tyler Shuck being one, injury history. After that leg injury that he had last year, 2023 season at Texas Tech, started the year really well, got injured, then had ended up transferring to Louisville. Also, he's going to be a 26-year-old rookie, which will scare some teams off. But look, this is going to be what people need to be getting used to in the world of the NFL is you're going to have older quarterbacks because they're going to be a lot more guys with the fifth year that they're going to use and play in college. A lot more quarterbacks are going to stay instead of jumping to the NFL early. So older quarterbacks are going to be
pretty
the
normal.
Norm, but 26 is really old, right? Really 7 years in college. He's a doctor at this point. So I think if you use that, yeah, Tyler Shuck going in the fourth round behind some of the other guys like Will Howard or McCord. And remember, Kyle McCord led the country in passing, too. Like, he had a really damn good year last year, and Will Howard won a national championship. Don't really agree with it. I'd take Tyler Shuck before those guys.
Yeah.
I'd also take Quinn Ewers before those guys. But
the Ewers one coming into this season is the one that's I think is most surprising to me. I understand the injuries.
Yeah.
That's the concern.
Injuries, and then, Texas offense was underwhelming.
Yeah, and he throws one of those balls a game where you go, what are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. SB Nation also has fifth round, Dylan Gabriel going to the Rams, Riley Leonard of Notre Dame going to Miami. And then in the sixth round, they got Curtis Rourke of Indiana going to the Colts. And then seventh round, Brady Cook of Missouri going to the 49ers.
The Riley Leonard to the Dolphins, I guess if you're going to get your quarterback in concussion, get a guy who's a little bigger.
Yeah, concussion proof.
Yeah.
Go down that road. But I want, like, some of those fits are just odd, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like they mailed in the Curtis Rourke one, like, oh, he went to Indiana. Go to Indianapolis, right? Yeah. If you're going for like the fit stylistically with the play caller that they're going to be with, which I think you've got to have that in mind, I think it changes quite dramatically because if you're going to have two or three in the first round, that allows these teams to draft to fit, not we need a quarterback, we're going to try to make it work, right? And so Cam Ward to Tennessee. It works. He's going to go number one. Zach Taylor, an offensive mind. Shador Sanders, 9 to New Orleans. I don't know if the Jets or the Giants are going to go quarterback because they've got stop gaps in place, and they're not going to be good next year either.
No.
And they know it.
And it sounds like, Shador is taking a meeting, literally just wrapped up a meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
He's not going to fall to 21, but could the Steelers find a way to move up to 13, 14?
And there's some rumblings that the Pittsburgh Steelers are in fact really into Jalen Milroe of Alabama. I think if Jackson Dart is there, I think his fit stylistically with Arthur Smith and the ability to throw to DK Metcalf and George Pickens with Pat Freiermuth, I think Jackson Dart is actually a good fit in Pittsburgh.
And
play
also,
action over the top, I think it would work well.
He's a big quarterback. They can't have little quarterbacks there.
I think as you kind of move down with Tyler Shuck, I'm not quite sure that the fit in Seattle is great for him, but they're looking young and trying to get quarterback depth. I think the Colts would be a great spot for Tyler Shuck.
Okay.
You have a playmaking wide receiver in Pittman on the outside. You have a steady running game. Mm-hmm. He is a control type guy, but he's the athleticism to get you out of trouble if your offensive line isn't protecting you. And we all know they're really uncertain at quarterback there. Yeah. So if you're going like a mid-round pick, like if you are late second or in the third round, yeah, Tyler Shuck to Indianapolis makes a lot of sense. Jalen Milroe to the Jets. Think of it in these terms. You're not wasting a first-round pick on him.
Yeah.
You have Justin Fields. Your offense does not have to dramatically change with Jalen Milroe if you insert him into the lineup. Both of them are athletic. Mm-hmm. They can run. A lot of their shortcomings are the same, but so you're also taking a flyer on the guy.
Well, you game plan for the same shortcomings. There was a highlight film of Jalen Milroe that was circulating last week. Not a single pass on the tape.
Yeah, that'll happen.
It was just him running.
It's impressive.
It was a little tongue-in-cheek. I mean, they knew what they were doing, but it was also like, yeah, the arm, while it's an absolute cannon, and he may have the best arm in the draft. I mean, he has an absolute cannon on his arm. But you never know where the hell it's going.
No, he is kind of like Joe Milton, except for faster.
Yeah.
Kyle McCord, I think a good fit for him would be the New York Giants. And it's not, you're not using high draft capital. Mm-hmm. You're getting him again in the mid rounds, but you get a cerebral, mental quarterback that you know can distribute the football, led the country in passing this
past
year.
In your backyard.
Yeah. And like that is Syracuse. You went to Syracuse, but they need one more guy that can kind of learn. And I don't think he will be affected by the different types of crazy with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston that you have in your locker room, which is harmless crazy. But it's like he can actually learn and take in that environment.
There's always a mid-round quarterback that surprises.
Yeah.
I'm coming around to Kyle McCord being that guy.
Yeah. And it wasn't a good fit at Ohio State.
No.
It just wasn't. But I think the fit with Brian Daboll actually would make sense. Will Howard, Miami. They need somebody that can be a backup quarterback to Tua who can...
They can trust.
You can just steady hand, has played in big games.
It's not going to make a
mistake. He's not going to be a threat to what's going on, but you know you're going to need him.
Yeah.
And that is going to be really important for Miami. That's why I did not like the Riley Leonard there.
Yeah, that one is weird to me. And don't get me wrong, McDaniels will find a way to utilize a guy like Riley Leonard, but it's the NFL. You got to be able to throw.
Look, and if the Cleveland Browns don't go quarterback at two and they sit in the second round and Jackson Dart is gone and they don't really trust Tyler Shuck that much, waiting a little bit longer in getting Quinn Ewers is not the worst thing in the world for them. If he's a mid-round guy, Cleveland is a good fit for him because he has an offensive-minded head coach. He has weapons that he'll have at his disposal. But you're going to be playing more ball control offense, and you're not relying on him to be a guy who's going to be a playmaker for them because they're going to be better on the defensive side of the ball, and that's where they're going to try to slow teams down. Especially if they go Abdul Carter to pair with Myles Garrett, watch out, man.
That's a pick 67. The next pick is pick 68 in my Raiders. And what I've heard from the beat writers and media folks around the Raiders, Ashton Jeanty is the guy that they're looking at in the first round. It very much sounds like Jeanty is going to be a Raider, unless it's the best smokescreen that the Raiders have deployed in a long time. The hope was 60 days ago that at the top of the second round when they are picking, Jackson Dart would be there.
Yep.
That very, 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 very unlikely now.
Very unlikely. And that puts them in. But you have Geno. So, I mean, if they didn't have Geno Smith, it would be completely different.
Yes.
And you have the ability to wait another year because he's under contract for, what, three?
Yeah, 2-1.
Yeah. So you got him for a couple more years. So you could do that next year where you can get a quarterback and kind of bide your time and wait. Dylan Gabriel's the next quarterback up on the list. His size is really going to affect him, and this is going to be a late-round guy. But if you want to talk about finding a place in a system that works to his strengths, it's Sean McVay in L.A. with the Rams. And if you're late in the draft and you need a backup quarterback, smart, gets the ball out quick, is athletic enough to make plays on the outside, but thrives on the underneath stuff and the outside quick stuff, Dylan Gabriel could be that guy. The last two quarterbacks, Riley Leonard and Curtis Rourke. Riley Leonard and Jim Harbaugh seem like a good fit just because if he's not the backup to Justin Herbert, he will move him to tight end.
Or H-back.
Dude, you'd go, I see it.
Just a gamer.
I see it. You want Jim Harbaugh wants short yardage, but doesn't want Justin Herbert in there. He's going to put Riley Leonard in to run the tush push.
A little Taysom Hill action.
Yeah. I see that being a thing.
A late round vision.
And then the last one, Curtis Rourke to the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin O'Connell, late round. You're talking sixth or seventh round pick. Curtis Rourke in Minnesota. They don't have a backup quarterback to J.J. McCarthy right now.
Get a guy with some experience. Yeah.
Get another young guy that is a throwaway pick, but Kevin O'Connell gets to get his hooks in him and just develop him, who has the talent, has the skill set, injury history too, and you can just sit there and say, learn. Just learn Curtis Rourke.
All right. I like it. All right. Coming up next is wrap up today's show. The longest losing streak you could possibly imagine.
Oh,
and
boy.
How do you handle it? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Quick pivot here because, somebody peed in the pool, as it were. The creek at Augusta.
Ray's Creek, man.
13th hole?
Yes, it was on the tee box of 13. It was on the tee box of 13. Arizona State golfer, amateur Jose Luis Ballester was on the tee box, and he had to go to the bathroom. And this guy, the stones on him for this one, at the Masters, he was asked in his press conference, at 13 there was an issue. Did you have an emergency? Obviously they cheered. Can you tell us what happened? He said, well, I completely forgot we had those restrooms left of the tee box. Question, on the 13th tee? Correct. And then I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue on the green, I'm like, I'm just going to go sneak to the river. Probably people won't see me that much. And then they clapped for me. Probably one of the biggest claps I got today, really. It was real loud. So that was kind of funny. Were you concerned there might be any blowback from that at all? Obviously, they did see you, right? Yeah, they saw me. It's not embarrassing at all for me. If I had to do it again, I'd do it again.
Maybe don't say that last part out loud. Also, the blowback. Boy. Good thing it's not a windy day.
They were already upset at him for wearing...
pee uphill while wearing sandals.
They were already upset with him, the old fuddy-duddies that watch the Masters, because he's wearing one of those... I think these hats are stupid, but I get it. You know the upside-down writing?
Mm-hmm.
It says Sun Devils, but it's upside down. Mm-hmm. And people said that was disrespectful to Augusta.
Come on.
That's so dumb. But this one... they might actually get mad at him for.
Yeah, it's pristine water. You don't pee in the creek.
It's a whole new meaning to taking relief.
Yikes, dog.
Boy. Golf, I love the Masters. Let he who has not peed on a golf course.
Oh, buddy.
Cast the first stone.
Lighten up, Francis.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, it is the Masters.
Also
so
in the creek.
They ain't going to be that.
Yeah. The creek's a little.
Yeah. You know.
It is a wide open course. There's not a lot of...
there's a lot of trees there. There's a lot of trees. He went open in the woods.
At 13?
Yeah. Yeah. Right around the tee box. They're all over. They line the
you're right. Yeah,
it's
right when you get into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's tough living, though.
Yeah. It's tough place to be.
Poor guy.
Mm.
All right. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, we've got Friday edition of Danny and Dusty. And we'd be back, yo. Have a great Thursday. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye. No, 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 no,
no. No.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase 1 of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to 5 times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.